Hey there, welcome to the About Your Body podcast. I'm Rachel Holt, the founder and one-woman show behind About Your Body. I'm a visual designer who has an ever-growing interest in the biofemale reproductive system. I want to use my design skills to empower people, especially young girls, to learn all about how incredible their body is and what it can do. I would like to acknowledge that this podcast was recorded on stolen land, the land of the Gadigal people. I pay my utmost respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their continuing connection to Australian land, sea, and sky. Australia always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Hey everyone, welcome back to the About Your Body podcast. Today I have a slightly different episode for you. It's very conversational. I'm speaking with Maddie Resnick, the founder of Dear Diary. Dear Diary is a blog helping people in their 20s navigate life after study. This is largely a conversation about being a woman in your early 20s, as Maddie and I are the same age, and what it's like navigating internet culture, female empowerment, and work. We talk about setting boundaries with social media, comparison culture, body image, and taking a multifaceted approach to business. And then the second part of our conversation touches on our similar upbringings growing up with a Catholic mum and a Jewish dad, which is a really weird coincidence that both of us happen to have that. Maddie also shares her experience with Catholic guilt surrounding sex, and we talk about sex education in the United States, which is, of course, a Christian nation. Just to let you know that a large portion of this episode discusses body dysmorphia, and we also briefly talk about homophobia. So if those are things that you can't listen to right now, please feel free to just come back to this episode at a later date or just listen to something else. There are also some light occurrences of swearing in this episode. Anyway, I hope you all enjoy. Let me know what you think. Hi, Maddie. Thank you so much for being on the About Your Body podcast.
I am so excited to be here. I love you, Rachel. You're amazing. And I am just honored to be on my first international podcast as well.
I love you too. And I'm so excited. I think, are you my first international guest? No, sorry. You're not my first.
It's okay.
One of the first international guests.
You're still my first. So it's okay.
Exactly. And I'm so excited for the listeners to hear about like how this relationship has formed because it probably seems so random. But would you mind starting off by telling everyone just very basically who you are?
Yeah. So my name is Maddie Resnick. I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in the US, and I am 23 years old. I also run a postgraduate blog, which is now turning into its own platform for 20-somethings just trying to figure out life. We focus on advice for 20-somethings from people who are either in their 20s, they're in their 30s. Mostly I'd like to say that it's like peer-to-peer advice, so I try to keep it around the same age. That being said, we've had all different people on our advice column on the blog, and now we're kind of moving into becoming more of a platform where we can have contributors, have other people come on and write posts and articles and all different information for people who are just trying to figure out life when they're in their 20s, they just graduated college or university, and just trying to figure out those next steps in life, which I feel like a lot of times we don't talk about. A lot of times I feel like those transition periods, specifically from school to corporate or work life or whatever you may end up doing after school, is kind of just glazed over, and it's a huge transition. So I'm trying to normalize kind of just talking about the real struggles, what it's like, but also just having like helpful information, tips, and tricks and all different things like that. I am hoping to expand and also talk about fashion, health, mental health, current events, opinion pieces. I want it to just be like a one-stop shop eventually, but
yeah,
right now we're just doing a lot of advice for 20-somethings and it's been going great. So I've had a great time just talking to a ton of really different people. And that's kind of how I ended up here. Me and Rachel, we met on Instagram. And yeah, I feel lucky that we did. And it's just exciting that there are ways now to connect with people all over the world who are in the same place of life as you are, and to focus on those similarities rather than the differences.
I feel like that was such a great summary. And I feel like what you're doing is actually very important, because the internet has so much variety in it. Like, if you look up something on the internet, who knows what the answer is that you're going to get. That sentence was horrible, but you know what I mean. So to have like a one-stop shop where you are fairly sure that you can get advice from people who have perhaps a similar mindset to you, however you're not in an echo chamber, is really, really good. I think we're in pretty similar spots in our lives. I think I graduated a year ago, and this year since has been like, what am I doing?
I totally understand. We're in the same spot. I graduated a year ago, and that's honestly how Dear Diary was birthed. I was feeling so alone, and like the internet, social media wasn't explaining what was going on in my life. Like, I couldn't relate to anything. And so that's kind of why I was like, okay, I want to like showcase what people are actually dealing with, but also like make it fun and relatable and just create a space that's real, because I think a lot of times what we see is not real on social media.
Yes. I love that, because the highlight reel is like, I'm actually trying to be slightly more like varied with my content. I fell into a trap of like, I don't know, just showing like, oh, look how great my life is, which is so funny, because About Your Body is a platform for about real women with real stories. Like, it's not meant to be a highlight reel, but it's so easy to fall into this trap of like, look what I had for breakfast. My breakfast looked amazing. And like,
what's crazy is when you are, and I don't want to sound like a hippie, but when you're like, brain is almost like polluted with all of that imagery, that's like everything's perfect. And then let's say you like don't have a perfect day, it can really mess with your mental health, because you're like, okay, well, like, what's wrong with my life? Like, this influencer is like on a boat somewhere or on a beautiful private island. Like, you're like, what am I doing wrong? And so I just kind of wanted to bring back that normalcy of just like, people have normal lives too. Like, we're all just trying to get through it, and let's just do it together and focus on like those similarities rather than the differences.
It sounds like you're kind of like just navigating a space, like creating a space for reality to set in the world of the internet being incredibly unrealistic. And that's awesome. Are you born 97?
Yes, 97.
Yeah, so we're literally like the same age. Yeah.
I'm month for you, because I'm not December.
Oh, I'm November.
Oh my, that is crazy. Oh my God. So it's like, we're just like sisters from in another life. Like,
we really are. And the listeners are going to hear like how much we have in common as we get into this. But this is perfect, because I basically want to talk to you about being a woman on the internet. And like, sort of just generally, like, all of our listeners will be so present on social media, because if they're not, I don't know how they found me. Like, that's how I find everyone. Have you made like incredible connections over the internet? Do you find it helpful in that way?
Yeah, no, I feel like so lucky to have social media, specifically Instagram. I know Dear Diary wouldn't have gotten where it was without it. I think just being able to connect with postgrads from all over the country, and even just this is a testament to all over the world.
Like, yeah.
That is insane to me. Like, me just putting down my feelings at first from my college house in Charleston, South Carolina, which is down south. Like, the fact that I can connect with all these different people from just writing about my experiences, and they're like, hey, I had that experience too. I think that has been the most incredible part of this whole year and this journey with creating this platform, because it has been just such like a healing process to be like, okay, like a lot of people are going through this, and I'm not even connecting all the people with all the people that I could be. Like, there are just so many people out there to reach. And so I think that is why the internet is so great and why social media is so great, because at the end of the day, you really can reach people who you never would have met or experienced talking to them otherwise. So although there are a lot of negatives, like I mentioned with the highlight reel and stuff like that, it is such a positive and powerful tool, specifically when you're launching a platform or a brand or anything like that.
Yeah. for as much flack as I give it in my everyday conversation, like I do love social media, and I kind of get concerned about if Instagram, like when Instagram inevitably is not as powerful as it is now, because the platforms are constantly changing, like, you know, 10 years ago it was MySpace. When Instagram just deteriorates and something else takes over, like, I just think, what will About Your Body be? And so I'm in the process now of working on like building it into something that doesn't rely on just one platform. Because I don't think that's sustainable. If you actually want to have a business or a brand, it needs to be across like the entire internet, essentially.
Yeah. No, but I think you're so good. Like, just as a friend saying, like, you're building a brand, like you have, your captions are incredible with your writing and your imagery and your graphics. Like, you can transfer that to a blog. You can transfer that, like, that can go anywhere you want. But I think it is like what you were saying, like it is so important to like play with all of those different elements of social media just so that you are covering all your bases. Like, I don't like TikTok, but I'm on TikTok because I'm like, okay, people are on TikTok.
yes.
So I think it's kind of like, you know, you just, that's how you play the game. That's how you market yourself and your brand and your business. And you kind of just have to like go for it. Even if it's, you know, not your favorite thing to do.
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. And like off air, you even said like, other, you know, work I'm trying to do is in marketing and social media. And then you were like, oh, like marketing is social media now. And it's just so interesting to think about that shift. Because if you went to uni and studied marketing several years ago, that wouldn't have been the focus at all. And now sometimes I work with freelance clients, like as a graphic designer. And when I do, they'll be like, oh, do you think I should start up an Instagram? And it'll be like, just a company that's got absolutely nothing. Yeah. Like,
how do you not have Instagram?
Honey.
Yeah.
Secure the handle now.
Like, what are you doing? No, I literally had an experience like that with a client, and they aren't even that much older than me, but it's like, there is that like age gap. And I was just talking about this for like the other day with someone else on Zoom, where we 97 babies or like late 90 babies, we're like the Zillennials, like we're in between Gen Z and the Millennials.
Yeah.
And we know life, like we had childhoods without social media and all that stuff, but it also came into our lives at like very formative times. So it still is like such a big part of our lives. Meanwhile, people who are a little bit older than us, like earlier in the 90s, like even my boyfriend, who's a couple years older than me, social media isn't as big of a part of his life, specifically Instagram. And so I feel like we're in this very unique space, and it's almost like such a great idea if you're like, what do I do with my life? Like, to go into social media or marketing, because you have this unique space where you can connect with people who know life before social media, but you can also connect with people who, you know, it's been a part of their life forever. So we're definitely in like this unique space and demographic where we know both.
How do you deal with, if you do deal with it, how do you deal with comparison culture on Instagram and on social media?
God, it's so difficult. I mean, I feel like I can talk about this on here because it's about your body.
Yeah, perfect.
But I definitely feel like I have probably always struggled with body dysmorphia. And I do think that that has been triggered, especially throughout my life when social media has been a big part of it. I think we can all feel that way sometimes, especially when, you know, there's all these filters coming out and it's like, what do I actually look like? And things like that. So I do think that there is negatives with comparison culture and just kind of looking at social media and looking at other influencers or brands or even just friends you follow and being like, well, what's wrong with me? Like, I look different than that, or all of those things. And I think that at the end of the day, the thing that has been best for me and most therapeutic is just recognizing where I'm at and being grateful for, you know, myself, looking at the positive instead of the negative. I think that we can all look at the negative if we want to, but like, you can choose to see the positive. And so I think it's just like a choice. Like, you have to choose to just love yourself and be happy with where you are and who you are, because you could always look at, someone's always going to be prettier, skinnier, or whatever it is. Like, it's all, you're always going to have that comparison. But you just need to start like loving yourself and being happy with, you know, who you are as a person inside and out, not just looks.
I love that. I think the difficulty is as well, is that we put, like, society puts an insane amount of pressure on what we look like. So even women in high positions of authority, in power, in science, in mathematics, in literally everything, it's still about how they look. It's always been about that. And I personally, like, as a woman, fall into the trap all the time of caring about how I look. And I don't actually think, like, I'm kind of undecided. I don't think there's anything wrong with caring about how you look. I love fashion. I love makeup. I am obsessed with my, like, doing my hair. Like, I love that whole kind of thing. And then I think, though, that your self-worth has to be, like, not attached to how you look as well. And that is just almost impossible in this world. Like, it's all about how you look. Even like if you work in a corporate job, which I never have, to be fair. But you see, like, I walk around Sydney and I see like the men just put on their suit. They all have the same haircut. They like maybe iron their shirt. And then the women have like full face of makeup, hair looks perfect, heels, they're wearing like Louboutins all day, like 7-inch Louboutins all day. That's so uncomfortable.
It's crazy. I like love this conversation and this topic because I don't know, like, do you have like Swifties in Australia, like people who like Taylor Swift?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, we must. We must have them.
Okay, so I have loved Taylor Swift since I was young, and you know, like, I feel like I've gone in and out of loving her, but she has this one song that is called The Man, and it is kind of just talking about how her life would be so much easier if she was a man.
I've heard that song, yeah.
The comparisons of, like, if I was just, like, showing my money off, I would be a baller, but, like, if I do it as a woman, I'm a bitch. And it's just crazy because that is such truth. And I think about that all the time with even just creating Dear Diary as a platform, where I love our colors. We use pink all the time. I love aesthetics and making things look fun and pretty. That being said, it sometimes makes me think, I'm like, well, if I didn't have to think so hard about like what things looked like or what I looked like before I went on camera and like all these things, like how much easier, quote unquote, it would be.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so interesting, like, to think about what your life would be like if you didn't have to worry about those things. But I think at the end of the day, like, as women, those things do make us more powerful, and to see things like makeup and hair and a cute outfit or whatever, just see that as like power and you feeling powerful and good about yourself, and kind of like taking that power away from guys and being like, oh, they don't have to deal with it. Be like, well, we get to do it and it's fun. So
I think I sometimes feel like guilt for playing into that as well. Like, I know that if I went to a job interview, they're not allowed to not hire me because I don't have makeup on. Like, that is totally against, like, for the types of jobs I'm going for, that's not allowed. I would be able to refute that. But I still wear makeup anyway because I like feeling that, I like feeling nice. I like feeling like I look nice. And so I kind of play into that. But at the end of the day, it's kind of just like playing a game. And
yes. You know exactly what you're trying to say. Yes.
And women are not, you know, like, white women are not by any means the most oppressed people in the world by freaking any regard, but we do have it harder than white men. And so, like, if we want to get into those same positions, you just have to, yeah, play that game, I guess.
Yeah. And I think even like, you just have to like use things to your advantage. And if, let's say, like, putting on mascara makes you feel good, and if you feel good, you're going to have a better interview. Like, why is that so wrong? I think.
Oh, and so, like, true.
it's like, it's, there's nothing wrong with doing things that make you feel good and feel good about yourself. And I think, especially with women, you're supposed to do things for other people, not yourself. And I think it's very important to do things for yourself. And if that's like doing your hair and makeup and wearing a cute outfit, who cares? Like,
yeah,
that's going to make your day better. Like, you're not doing it for anyone else. You're doing it for yourself. So
I do think it comes down to that. You're right. Like, it fully comes down to that. It, at the end of the day, is not acceptable or the norm for women to do things for themselves.
It's sad that it's gone on this long.
Yeah. Do you follow, like, are you all right following influencers, models, etc.? Because I have to sort of limit that, and I do follow some, but I definitely limit it because it can be too much for me.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I just recently got into that where I've definitely like unfollowed influencers in the past, but I really think about like why I'm following someone. Because I think sometimes I'm like, oh, I have to follow, like, who was it? Oh, Kendall Jenner. I follow all the Kardashians and the Jenners just because like that's what you do. You follow all them.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, like, Kendall Jenner is beautiful, like nothing wrong with her. But like personally, like seeing someone that thin on my page, like sometimes triggers me personally. Mm. And so I'm like, why do I follow her if it's like, I don't even know her. Like, I don't owe her anything. And so I think it's sometimes like pulling back that curtain and being like, why am I doing something? Because you have to think like, is it bettering you or is it making you worse? And like, you have the power to control that. So it's like, you don't have to follow someone if they're making you feel bad, you know? I have started muting people where it's like awkward if I unfollow them because for whatever circumstantial reason, but like seeing their content makes me think negatively or whatever, or it just puts a bad taste in my mouth. If you like don't have the balls to like just unfollow them, like you can just mute their stories and posts, and then it's like not this huge drama that you unfollowed them. You don't
I
have
do that
to
too.
Feel that way when you see their content.
I actually think that's a fantastic way to go about it as well, because it's not Demi Lovato says that they were like, I don't like to unfollow my own friends because I love them, but I just can't see really skinny people with the eating disorder that I have. Like, these are their words. And I'm that was when I found out about muting people, and I was like, oh my God, life hack. Well, like, as well as being a woman on the internet, I don't know, do any of these skills, what's the word for it? Coping mechanisms. Like, how have you found trying to navigate being a woman and working in the field that you're in, which is like marketing, social media, content creation, yeah, etc.?
It's hard because I feel like if you are in that field and that's like your job and like what you're doing, you are consistently seeing images, you're consistently on social media. And so it's kind of hard to like take a social media break. I think the biggest thing and what I'm working on is setting boundaries.
Yes.
working on like certain times of the day, being on my phone and being on social media and like not just like scrolling aimlessly or, you know, just doing it because it's something to do. Like, I really am trying to set up those boundaries, especially as someone who's starting their own business and platform. Like, if I wanted to work till 10 p.m. every night, like I would, but like I am trying to be nice to myself and like,
yeah,
set those boundaries. So I think at the end of the day, like, you just have to be able to have those limits and stick to them, because if you don't, like, you will never have like a fulfilled life. You will always be controlled by something that isn't even a person. It's a phone, you know?
Yeah, I so agree. And it's like, when you run your own platform or business though, there's always going to be something more that you can do. That's what I've realized recently is, mm-hmm, where even if I tick off everything on my to-do list, which absolutely never happens, I could work 12 hours a day on that business and like still not get everything done.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. It's good that you're just aware of it. I think that's the first and probably possibly only step, being aware of it.
I have a great therapist. No, actually.
So do I.
I think like talking about those things and like knowing like the things you struggle with is half the battle.
And I think that the way, like, the one of the things I like the most for sure, or the thing I like the most about our generation, is that going to therapy is something that we talk about and like we all do. And it's so weird because it's not the case for people who are basically any older than us. Like they might go to therapy, but they won't talk about it. And I'm so happy that we can. Like that's so, so, so good.
I think that it's so important, and that is definitely something like I want to bring on to Dear Diary, like mental health awareness, all of that, because I think regardless of what your own individual struggles are, like we all are dealing with something and going through something. And so it's like, we might as well just be there for one another. And it's that sense, again, I keep saying this, but like focusing on those similarities than differences, like, yeah, your problems might be different, but like, we're all like, it's all relative. Like we're all dealing with shit. So it's like accept it and exactly just like be open about it.
Okay. This is super different, but we need to talk about having a Jewish dad and a Catholic mum, which I also have. I wrote in my question having a Jewish mum and a Catholic dad, but that's not right. It's the other way around. Jewish dad and a Catholic mum. I've literally never met a single other person in the entire world who has that upbringing. And
really?
Okay. Yeah, but that's because in Australia there are very few Jews. So I think that's why. I think New York has like the largest concentration of Jews per capita in the entire world.
Like in general, I feel like we definitely have like a large Jewish population. Yeah. So I've definitely met people, but it's also not common at all. Like it's still not a common.
No, it's not. And I actually wonder what that was like growing up in the US, because the US is a Christian nation, whereas Australia's secular. It's very definitely the major religion is Christianity, but it's not a religious nation in a lot of respects. Whereas in America, you know, like for example, you swear on the Bible if you are swearing in court. And in Australia, I could be wrong. Lawyers, correct me. I'm pretty sure that's not an option. And we don't have that, like, you know, one nation under God sort of wording about things.
Yeah.
And so then, like, I don't know, what was that intersectionality like for you? Having the Jewish dad, Catholic mom, were you raised one or the other, or were you raised neither? Or I was raised neither.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love my parents. They're great. And I think at the time, like, not saying neither of them were religious people, but I think that like at the end of the day, like they loved each other and like that was definitely like a difference. And so it kind of just like happened that, you know, they were like, all right, well, I guess we'll kind of do nothing. Like we'll figure it out as we go along. I mean, for the first part of my life, I would definitely say like we kind of didn't do anything. Like we celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah, but I didn't go to any type of like religious school. And then it was actually my decision. I was like, I want to learn about like that Jesus guy, like, something like really ridiculous. As like a 6 or 7 or 8 year old or something. Mm-hmm. And I think I had like friends who were going to Catholic like Sunday school or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's how Sunday school started. And then around the same time, I ended up going to a private Catholic school. And that's very common in the US, specifically because I feel like a lot of our private schools are Catholic. So in my area specifically, I feel like if you want to send your kids to a private school, it is most likely going to be Catholic. It's just kind of how it is around here. And it was at that time that my dad was kind of like, okay, well, if they're going to learn about, you know, the Catholic side of things, let's also have them learn about, Judaism. So that's when I stopped going to Sunday school for like Catholic Sunday school and started going to Jewish Sunday
school. Yeah.
I was going to Catholic school. It sounds really crazy and overwhelming, but honestly, it was just like normal. I feel like it was more normal to me when I was younger. Like it was so cool in middle school when I had a bat mitzvah, like everyone came and was excited and
it was just
a big event and fun. And so like a mini wedding. And so like we had a great time and I think honestly, it was like as I got older in high school is when I definitely felt like more insecure about it just because I was different. And when you're in high school, like you just don't want to be different from anyone. Like
yeah, you just want everyone else.
And so I think that's when I struggled. And then I feel like I definitely embraced it more as I was in college. I thought it was cool. It made me unique. One of my best friends actually was Jewish and Catholic that I lived together with. So she got it. It was like the same dynamic. Her mom was Catholic. Dad was Jewish. They didn't like celebrate either religion in their household, but like she got it. So I just feel like I thought it was cool when I got older, but like I definitely had like that period when I was like a teenager where I was like, this is so weird. Like everyone doesn't get it. Like they're confused. I didn't want to explain it to people. But now it's just like, it's a part of who I am. And I definitely know a lot about religion. So
that's awesome. I feel like I wasn't raised either. I didn't have a bat mitzvah. My extended family, they do like they celebrate Hanukkah. We do Rosh Hashanah, but like that is, you know, like once a year for one night. Like it's barely anything. And we did Christmas, but it was never about Jesus. It was just like everyone in Australia does Christmas. Yeah. So we just did Christmas. Yeah. And I think growing up neither, but having an awareness of both for some reason gave me this supreme interest in religion. I'm so interested in religion, and you can ask anyone who knows me, I always have been. Religion was my best subject at school, but we didn't do like, it wasn't Catholic studies, it was like studies of religion, just studying whatever.
That's so interesting to me. I wish we did that here.
Oh, you don't do that?
No, like, well, I also went to a Catholic school, but I feel like there's no religion class if you go to a public school. So that's really cool. You like had religion and it was broad. That's very cool.
Yeah. Well, we were studying, it was really cool. So, but we had to pick, or the teacher had to select 3 of the 5 major religions in the world. And you could only do 3, and he didn't choose Christianity or Judaism. So I learned nothing about them at school. I learned about Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. And we learned about how those religions exist in the world as beautiful, sacred practices. And then how they are misconstrued into, you know, permitting horrible acts of violence. And it would have been the same if we'd learn about Judaism and if we'd learned about Christianity, but we just didn't learn about those ones, so it didn't happen. And so yeah, it was so interesting. Like it was, I don't know, I was always so proud of being Jewish, and my sister and I have had this conversation, and she once said to me, like, since when are you Jewish? And I was like, what do you mean, I've always been Jewish. And she was like, yeah, but we weren't raised Jewish at all, like why do you always talk about being Jewish? And I'm like, I don't know, I think it's because, to be honest, I have a big nose, I look Jewish, I look super Jewish. And people would always Jewish.
I get it.
Yeah, but people didn't consider me Jewish. Did people consider you Jewish?
No, I feel like I'm like, and I know this is like probably, I don't think this is controversial to say, but I feel like I'm like passing. Like, I feel like I pass like as like kind of just like a Catholic person. Like if I'm going to Catholic school and like all that stuff, like no one would question it. Cause I'm like, sure, blonde hair, blue eyes. But then also like, I think like about my dad's features and he's like more tan and things like that. And I kind of like am similar to him more in that sense. And so I think like you wouldn't know. But like then when you do know, I feel like you're like, oh, okay, I see it now. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
that
it does. Sense? It does. And also because, I mean, just because of the way that the world has gone about Judaism, being Jewish is not even like in a lot of contexts, it's not a thing. It's just like, oh, whatever. Like, yeah, my parents are Jewish as well. Like a lot of people are Jewish but don't identify with it at all. And I think I identified with it and always have because – well, number one, I do think there is a thing that when you're raised Jewish, even when you're only half Jewish like us, and we're not, this is in air quotes for the podcast listeners, properly Jewish, because Judaism traditionally passed through the mother, you are, I don't know about you, but I was raised like you are Jewish first, Australian second. And I think my dad put that onto me just because, and I kind of like that he put that onto me, to be honest, just because being Jewish is so important to people, and it's so different to to the typical way of growing up in Australia because there are so few Jews there. But my Jewish friends, of whom I have a few, like quite a few, are all like, yeah, you're Jewish. But so often people will say to me like, oh yeah, but you're not really Jewish. Like your mum's not Jewish. But like, who are you to tell me?
Yeah, choose who you want to be. And like, that was a part of your childhood. Like, of course you're going to say that. Yeah, I think that, you know, Judaism is a very beautiful religion and culture. And I'm lucky enough to be super close to my grandparents who are both Jewish. Mm. And, you know, it is such a big part of their life and it brings them so much joy and beauty. And I think that, you know, having that experience, like definitely deepened it for me as well, because they're such good people. And, you know, that is such a big part of their life. I think that, you know, if it's something you identify with, like, screw anyone who says no otherwise.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Yeah.
I'm just so happy to meet someone with a similar upbringing.
No, I think that, you know, it definitely would be weird to like never have met anyone. But yeah, here I think it's not normal, but like you'll definitely like meet people like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. But what was your sex education like growing up in a, like going to an all-girls Catholic school? Because that is obviously very relevant for About Your Body. And I love talking to people who had incredibly different experiences about what sex education was like for them.
Yeah, no, it was non-existent.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's no secret that Catholics believe that abstinence is key and that, you know, like, you just shouldn't be having sex. Instead of, I think what is now more, I don't know. I honestly, like, I have no clue what the church speaks on this. I'm guessing it's the same, but, you know, I feel like now though, in general, as a society, specifically in the US, like we're coming to terms with the sense that like, okay, like people are gonna have sex, like let's protect our kids. Mm. But I think specifically if you're Catholic or you went to Catholic school, like that's non-existent. So I honestly can't even remember ever having a sex ed class, which
is
I like didn't understand how you could get pregnant, like just like so many things that like, thank God my mom was a nurse and like explained things to me because I would have been clueless. Because yeah, I mean, I think that like in grade school, like they skipped over it. We never really talked about it. Maybe we watched like one short film, and then our like health and wellness class or health class was like about eating disorders and drugs. Like we never talked about sex, which is like insane because like teenagers have sex. Like why do we not, you know, have conversations about this? So yeah, it was honestly non-existent.
And sex is more common than drugs. Like drugs are common, but sex is more common.
And it's just like crazy because like I was like kind of in the dark for so long because I just specifically in high school because we just weren't told the right information, you know what I mean? Like it's just, it's like if you're told the right information, like that prevents so much misinformation. It prevents, you know, unwanted pregnancy, like so many different things that can happen when you just have misinformation. And so, I mean, I'm lucky that my parents talked about it and my mom, you know, is a nurse and is very clinical about things, but like,
that's really
good. If I didn't have that, like I would be clueless going into college, which is crazy to think about.
So safe to say, like you didn't feel equipped about your body or.
Absolutely not. No. And I think that I can like speak, I don't want to speak for all people of the US, but I feel like in general, it's not spoken about in like Catholic institutions. Like it's kind of just like abstinence is key. And I don't know what it's like being in a public school because I had never gone to one, but I do know that friends I have who have been in Catholic schooling most of their life as well, they had similar experiences where it's just like, it's a no, don't do it.
Gosh, I was watching an episode. Okay, hear me out when I start talking about this. I was watching an episode on Hailey Bieber's YouTube channel because like I think probably all the listeners know I'm actually obsessed
with
her.
I
love her.
I like her.
Thank you. So
I also love like new Justin Bieber. Like I love his like evolution.
Yeah, I didn't love old Justin Bieber personally. I only love old, like, new Justin Bieber, but that's like, yeah, sorry.
I like
sorry.
His evolution for sure. I think he's doing it right.
And I don't love old Hailey Baldwin, to be honest, because she has made some like comments that have been really, really horrible, but she's evolved as a person. And that's why I like her so much now.
I feel like that comes down to just being like young, dumb, uneducated, and having a following.
That's what I mean. People cut her no slack. Like, she was raised like in like super white Christian America. Like, that's how people turn out. Yeah.
Like, obviously it's super wrong, but like, you can't blame the 15-16 year old girl. You have to blame where she's getting the information from.
Yeah, like, I don't think she's actually like that. Me being such a Hailey Bieber stan that I'm like, we can forgive everything. Anyway, so she's super Christian and she's very vocal about her faith, and she has such a strong faith. She loves Jesus. Like, and the other day she did a YouTube video with Yvonne Orji, but to be honest, I have no idea what she actually does because I hadn't heard of her. But they were talking about being Christian and being judged for having sex before marriage. And she pointed out, she was like, I was just always told that I'm gonna not have sex before marriage because I'm not. Like, that's it. I'm just not. And I can't think personally of anywhere in the Bible where it says you are not allowed to have sex before marriage. Like, I've never seen that. And I've read a lot of the Bible. And I have I love religion, as I said before. Like, I love talking about it. I love thinking about it. I love faith. I love my faith. I love God. But I have such an issue with religious institutions who try and tell you the way to live your life when that book, as sacred as it is to me, the Bible has been translated time and time again, and there is no definitive way to say that, like, there is one thing that you should do with your sexuality and that's it.
Because everyone's life and journey and story is different, you know?
If you look at the religions, Christianity and Judaism, if you look at them as black and white, they both, if you look at them the way that they have been translated in the modern day black and white, they tell you how to live your life. There's rules about eating kosher. That is why ultra-Orthodox Jews have so many rules and regulations on how they live their life. And that's why fundamentalist Christians do as well. But if you look at the religions as like, what did Jesus say? And like, what do all the prophets say? How do they live their lives? Then the religions are both, in my opinion, so beautiful. And they're all about love and acceptance. And like, no one was more loving and accepting than Jesus, yet the New Testament is used to be so to divide people in such harsh ways. And I think it is so upsetting and like such a shame. Do you feel like, I know you've talked about this on the podcast that you did before, which I will link below, actually, a link to the Moral Hangover podcast. But did you feel Catholic guilt growing up?
Oh my God, yeah. I feel Catholic guilt every single day. Like, I feel like even though I have been raised both religions, I do think like at this moment in time, I probably identify more with Judaism. That being said, like, I think I'm probably somewhere in the middle. Like, yeah. I think I have to figure out, I'm a very, I'm not a religious person, but I have like faith and I obviously believe in God. And I think that that's strong. But like, I think when it comes down to the nitty gritty, like, it's hard sometimes for me to say like, if I'm, you know, Jewish or something else, I
it
know
can be very difficult.
But but yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's ingrained in you. But I also think that like the Catholic guilt can be translated to like religious guilt in any religion, if that makes sense too. Like,
Feel
like regardless of the religion you're in, like, you're gonna feel guilty sometimes because of, you know, your faith and what you believe in. And so, but yeah, I think Catholic guilt is definitely a part of my life. And I think that it's something that you just have to like work through and be like, okay, like, I'm not a horrible person. It's okay. And just kind of like move forward. I would have Catholic guilt about being half Jewish. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, that makes no sense. Like, just like things like that. It's like,
you can't help who you are.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm assuming you had no queer sex education at school. If you had no sex education, like, was it ever brought up that people are queer?
Literally never. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, because I just, like, I think about, you know, friends, family members, whoever it may be, going through that experience.
Just alone.
Being in a Catholic school and being told constantly, like, who you are is wrong. Like, it makes me really sad. And, like, almost, like, I wish I could hug every person who's ever, you know, experienced that. So, yeah, no, never. Like, we never talked about sex at school. And so, of course, we did not talk about queer sex because that would never be brought up, which is awful. It's so awful that, you know, that was also a part of the experience in a, you know, Catholic institution.
I know. It's so sad. We need to start treating all sorts of sexual encounters as just as important as one and the other. We always talk about sex as, like, penis into vagina sex, that's it. There's so many types of sex, whether you're queer or not. Like, it doesn't have to be just limited to this one super normalized heteronormative way of thinking.
So incredible, everything you just said. And I feel like that should be a part of about your body. Like, that should be a new subsection. Because yes! I think, like, it's literally awful that we live in a society where there are people who they identify as and who they are, specifically queer people, they can't get information and education, and we aren't educating our youth. Like, that is awful, and it is a travesty. I hope that we come to a place where we can have those conversations and be open about it and, you know, come together as a community, you know? I think it's awful.
I think it's happening for sure with the advent of the internet. Thank you so much for sharing all of that insight, just having a conversation with me. Right, this is like the most casual podcast I've done, and it's like one of my favorites already.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have really, really cool insights on things, and I feel like we see eye to eye on literally everything, and it's just interesting also to hear perspectives from somebody who's on the literal other side of the world. It's so weird when you said it's Friday today, because for me, I'm in supreme, like, Saturday morning vibes right now. Like, it's no longer Friday.
It's time travel. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Well, it's Shabbos for both of us. So, but the last question that I want to ask you, and it can be as short or as long of an answer as you like, is what is one thing you wish you knew about your body when you were younger?
Oh, I love how you do this.
Thank you.
I wish, and I think this is a very, like, feminist answer, but also just something that I wish I knew for so many aspects, but especially about my body, that it is okay to feel good. It is okay to feel pleasure and feel good about yourself. Like, all of those things are positive, and it is not something to feel ashamed for. I think that there's definitely some Catholic guilt somewhere in there with that, I'm sure, but also just societal guilt as well. So yeah, I wish I knew that that was something that is okay and should be celebrated.
I love that. And going back to what we said at the start of the episode, I think you pointed out that women are not ever told that they should do anything for themselves. And we need to change that. So thank you for doing that through Dear Diary. And I hope to have you on the show again one day, because this has been wonderful.
I would love to.
Thank you so much for listening to the About Your Body podcast. I hope you found joy and comfort in learning about the biofemale body and the power that it holds. In the show notes, you will find links to the About Your Body Instagram page, which is full of free resources and illustrations explaining biofemale anatomy, as well as a link to the About Your Body Etsy store, where my art is available for purchase. And if you're a business, organization, or entrepreneur working in the women's health or women's empowerment space, we could work well together. Please reach out to me via my website, which is www.byrachelholt.com, if you'd like to hire me for graphic design or artistry services. Until next time, here's to learning about our bodies.